In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. We are now just over halfway through Lent and our Lenten journey together. And today we hear this odd story of Moses and the fiery serpents in the wilderness. A story that most likely would not have made it into our lectionary, except for the fact that Jesus made reference to it, which we just heard in John's Gospel. As if that wasn't enough oddness, this is St. Patrick's Day weekend, and one of the most well-known legends about St. Patrick is that he drove all the serpents out of Ireland. Now, I have to tell you that I am a person who loves playing with symbolism, and I love the Gospel of John because it is so rich in symbolism, and there's layer after layer after layer upon layer of meaning in the Gospel of John in every sentence, practically. So I couldn't resist taking a closer look at the connection between the lifting up of the bronze serpent of Moses in the wilderness and Jesus being lifted up on the cross. So John's Gospel is highly symbolic, and everything means more than it means. So it's not surprising that it is only in John's Gospel that we get this reference. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Remember that the people in the wilderness with Moses were murmuring, and they had been murmuring quite a while. They complained that there was no water, and Moses struck the rock, and God allowed water to flow out. They complained there was no food, and God sent them manna. And now, finally, they are railing against God in the wilderness. They had lost their trust in God and in God's appointed one, Moses. And they'd forgotten how bad it was in Egypt, and many of them wanted to go back. But things got worse for them, not better. And they began to be bitten by fiery serpents, as the King James Version has it. And those who were bitten died. So the people repented from their turning away from God, and asked God to take away the serpents. And Moses prayed to God, but God did not take away the serpents. God gave Moses an antidote and told him to do a very strange thing. Make an image of the poisonous serpent and put it on a pole where people can see it. And when the people are bitten, they have only to look at the bronze serpent and live. More oddness. Didn't God previously tell the Israelites to stop making objects? Was the serpent an idol or an icon? Did the people think that somehow this serpent healed them? Or did they look up at the serpent and look through it, as we do an icon, and see God's hand at work? We do know, if you keep reading in the Old Testament, that 500 years later, this serpent turns up in the temple in Jerusalem, where it is being worshipped. And by then, it has become an idol, and King Hezekiah has it destroyed. So what importance is this serpent to us and this imagery that Jesus refers to of Moses raising the staff of the serpent in the wilderness? How many people really love snakes? There may be somebody out there. Okay, there's a hand up. Okay. I remember one good encounter with a snake when I was very young. It was a rosy boa, a nice little, beautiful little snake, sort of rosy gray. My mother had taken me to the Natural History Museum in San Diego, and I got to hold the rosy boa. That was it for me. Beyond that, I avoid snakes. I know two people who were bitten by copperheads at an Episcopal summer camp in North Georgia. And one of them nearly died. These were both adults. I know people who have found rattlesnakes on their front door in Southern California, just feet away from their young children. One of the things I liked best about living in Maine, besides the summers, was that it was too cold in general for any poisonous snakes or spiders to live there. Not many people love snakes. In fact, snakes are one of the things that most people are at least somewhat afraid of. So perhaps the connection of the bronze serpent, Moses' staff with the serpent, to the cross of Jesus is that each of these showed something that everyone was afraid of. But in God's hands, the very thing the people feared became an instrument of their salvation. The antidote for a snake bite is a poisonous snake. The antidote to death is death. Jesus' death on the cross. And so Jesus was lifted up high on the cross where he died for us. And on the third day, he was lifted up again, glorified, raised by God to bring an end to death. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Eternal life is not just something that we will enter upon our death. Eternal life is life now with God. Living with God together in the reality of God's kingdom becoming real on this earth. And God is all around us. One of my favorite things associated with St. Patrick is St. Patrick's breastplate, which is, some of you know it, as it's a very long hymn, so we don't sing it very often, maybe on Trinity Sunday. I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity. But the chorus in that speaks to God being everywhere around us, surrounding us. It's Christ within me, Christ beneath me, Christ beside me, Christ in danger, Christ in friend and stranger. God is all around us, and eternal life is now. And I'll end with the collect for noonday prayers and when you hear it, you'll know why. Blessed Savior, at this hour you hung upon the cross, stretching out your loving arms. Grant that all the peoples of the earth may look to you and be saved, for your mercy's sake. Amen.